And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. Thank you for joining me today. It is another great day to be a real estate investor. In light of all the turmoil going on in the world right now, I want to discuss a few things before I get back to part three of my financial principle review and how those principles emphasize just why we choose real estate over other investment vehicles. And yes, real estate is our choice. We can put our money in a lot of different places, but we choose single family and multifamily real estate to put our money and grow our wealth and create passive income. But there's plenty of hysteria out there going on between the president, the tariffs, the stock market, and praise God, Dell Walmsley convinced me years ago to take my money out of the stock market, quit gambling, and put that money into cash flowing real estate. What a difference in life that made. And I'm not sitting there glued watching the markets up and down and back and forth and sideways and worrying about tomorrow. Nope, don't have to worry about any of that. It's a great peace of mind. But the fear is hyped by a media who has a product to sell. Do not forget that. Understand that. Turn the noise off. The media, they're there specifically to sell you fear and dependency. Dependency to come back tomorrow because you're so amped up and everything's crazy and what's going to happen tomorrow. Chill out. Listen to more music. Take a long drive down a country road. Go for a walk. But stay calm and chill, my friends. These are the times that real estate investors drool over. Just the other day, I was listening to Dell Walmsley. Yeah, I listened to his show. And he mentioned, we are coming into one of those times. And understand, Dell has been real estate investing for a long, long time. He's seen it all. But we're coming into one of those cycles that only hits every 20 years or so. And one of those times where real estate investors are able to take absolute advantage of incredible investment opportunities. I mentioned I just entered into another investment a few weeks back. I plan on at least one to two more over the next couple of months. How's that Robert Earl Keen song go that comes to mind? Feel so good again. Yes, we're coming into one of those times. Understand that change is good. Turmoil is good. There is opportunity in hysteria. The Chinese symbol for opportunity, half of that symbol is danger. The other half is opportunity. The oldest civilization on earth understood this 5,000 years ago. Yet Americans fail to understand that. Americans are conditioned for the now. Americans demand immediate gratification. It's how we've been raised. It's the me condition, the now condition. We have fast food. We have instant service. We have same-day delivery. We have an instantaneous 24-hour-a-day news cycle. Americans freak out if somebody doesn't answer their text message right away. We want our products ASAP. We want our information ASAP. We want it, and we want it now. Calm down, my friends. Fear creates reliance on authority. Democrat Party understands this, and the mainstream media understands this, but belief creates reliance on self. So think about that. Remember that this week. Turn off the hype and hysteria. Play the long game. Stick to your plan, discipline, and strategy. So that's enough of my pep talk. Let's get to the show. I want to discuss one of the most overlooked reasons why we invest in real estate. And it's control. Yes, control. What does the stock market not provide? Control. We have control of our investments. Not Wall Street, not Washington, D.C. We make money in the good times, and we make a lot of money in the bad times. All of my investments have an address. All of my investments are tangible. I can touch them. I personally run and manage all of my real estate investments, or I know the lead investor in charge of that deal. I know that person. I have talked to that person. I engage with that person. I subscribe to a plan of business. I subscribe to a strategy. And why do we target multifamily and single family housing? Why is that our target? Because we understand this. At the end of the day, every person out there has three choices. They need a place to lay their head, and they have three choices. They can buy a house, they can rent a house, or they can rent an apartment, or they can be homeless, or move in with family or friends. How many 35-year-olds are still living with their parents? And maybe there are reasons, right? Some of them are actually taking care of their parents. Their parents need full care. We live in the generation where we have to take care of our kids and our parents, but there's a lot of them that are doing this out of necessity. However, when we think about, oh my gosh, all the reasons we invest in real estate, we talk about it on this show all the time. There's just one after another, and some are going to come up in these principles, so stick with me for the entire show. But control of investment just might be the most overlooked advantage of real estate. Let's talk about gold. There's a lot of hype, a lot of hysteria going on in the world right now, a lot of fear. And it seems when that happens, boy, they really amp up the gold commercials, don't they? They start pounding you with that. William Devane is everywhere. If you need some gold, go find where he lives. If he truly is buying it, he's got a lot of gold out there. But anyway, the subject of gold makes me giggle a little bit. Ties into that statement, like I said, fear, hype, hysteria. The gold-based purchase is a fear-based purchase. You're scared the world's coming to an end? Buy gold. Want to protect your net worth? Buy gold. Gold's ridiculous. It doesn't pay you anything. You don't have cash flow. A real estate investor knows that the primary reason to make an investment, you can actually buy something that pays you back each and every month, each and every quarter. Imagine that. An investment in something where you just go stick your money and it's, you know, money for decades from now. No, we want money now so that we can invest more, so that we can enjoy our life. You don't get an equity capture with gold unless you steal it. Gold's a rock. What do you think happens when the value of gold goes up? I'm going to make the answer easy for you. Let's say you own a gold mine. Yes, use your imagination, but there are families out there and corporations that own gold mines. Gold exists. Gold isn't created. It's dug out of the ground. These folks purposely limit the supply of gold in the market. They want to keep value stable. They want to keep demand strong. But when gold goes up, what do? They're going to turn on the machines and they're going to pull more gold out of the ground. They can now sell it or put it on the market for more than they could in the past. Gold is not finite. There's more gold to be found out there. We're not in a world where that's it, we're done with the gold. No, if you're a gold, and I don't want to say manufacturer, but if you're part of a consortium that gets the gold out of the ground, that mines the gold, well, just like any other manufacturer or any other product company out there, when demand is strong and the price is high, I want to put more on the market. Supply and demand 101. So the mines are going to add more supply to the market at a substantial profit. Eventually, that price is going to drop and stabilize. What else happens when gold's up 10, 15% or whatever it is right now? I'm obviously no gold bug, but the gold bugs that got sucked into the last fear cycle, what are they doing? They're like, hey, I bought it at X. Now it's time to sell. And what happens when they sell? Again, the supply increases. But you can't eat gold. You can't spend gold. And people don't need gold to live. They need money to live. So gold provides you nothing. And when those gold bugs sell, the price is going to drop. Gold is just another form of wealth. It's a commodity. What's worth more? $500,000 of gold in your vault or $500,000 of lumber in a warehouse, or heck, I'll make it really crazy, $500,000 of potato chips in a warehouse. It's all $500,000. The value's the same. There's no difference. So do you see how ridiculous buying gold is? And if you're buying gold, well, that's just money that you don't have to invest in real estate. Take that money and invest in real estate. There are people out there that really like, oh, this is the end of times. I'm buying gold. Well, I'll tell you this. If the end of times is really coming, and it's not, don't you think the people with the guns and the bullets are going to go find the people with the gold and they're going to take all the gold they want? That's how the world works. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And if everything comes to an end, it's going to get real rough for a lot of folks. So gold is not an investment. You're taking money that you could be out there making money. Again, a real estate investor, we go buy a box, and the box gives us money each and every month. We're not sticking it in a hole in the ground. We're not sticking it in a 401k, and we're darn sure not putting it in gold. We're putting it in tangible real estate assets. Remember that. Okay, let's get on with the financial principles reinforced and validated by us as real estate investors. And this is part three. If you missed the earlier parts, you can find us on our YouTube channel. You can find us on the website, lifestylesunlimited.com, and you can find us on the podcast app on your smartphone. Everybody's got a smartphone these days. It's free to subscribe, and you can listen to all the shows on your time. But these principles are as old as time. The uber wealthy understand and practice these daily. But these principles shed light on why we choose real estate to create wealth and passive income as our investment vehicle of choice. We have a lot of places we could have gone. We went to real estate. And you change personally and mentally as a real estate investor, because our mindset's going to evolve. A real estate investor, you're going to transform into an investor, into somebody who wants to actively get your money working for you now. We're not thinking about saving. We're not trying to stuff it aside for some rainy day in the future. That's a 401k. We're not trying to pay our house off because our house is a debit. It's not a credit. We have to pay our house each and every month. Instead of that, we can buy an investment vehicle. We can buy an asset that in return pays us something each and every month, one chunk at a time. That's how we create a cash flow snowball. It's not sticking your money in a jar, in the ground, in the mattress, in some future savings plan. We want money working for us now. We want cash flow now, and we want to actively grow our wealth at the same time. Imagine that. Principle number one, the rich don't fear debt. They fear missed opportunities. This is so true for the real estate investor. When a great opportunity comes across and I don't have seed money to engage in that, and I really like the lead investor and I like the property upon the review, and unfortunately I don't have money to take advantage of that investment right at that time, that's a killer. It's an opportunity I want to engage in, but I couldn't. But we didn't fear debt. On the other side, I'll tell you how I actually borrowed to engage in these opportunities. More on the other side.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm sharing a series of age-old financial principles as old as time, but boy, these really ring true for the real estate investor. This is part three. If you missed the first two parts of the show. You can go find those on the website or the podcast app. Those will be April 7th and April 14th. That's part one and part two. And this is part three. So let's get back. Let's pick up where we left off. And I left off with the rich don't fear debt. They fear missed opportunities. And this drives home. This hurts as a real estate investor, because when something great comes across and we just don't have that seed money because we put everything else into real estate and we're kind of on a cycle, right? We're waiting for a property to run full cycle so we can get some money back and get in some more properties. And we don't like that when that happens. And we all talk about it. We're like, man, did you invest with so-and-so? No, I couldn't at the time. You know, I'm waiting for this one to run through, or I'm selling a house and then I'll have money. But yeah, I missed that. But early on when I was building my real estate portfolio, let's talk about debt a little bit. I borrowed all the time. I had taken what I had, which wasn't a ton of money to get started, and I needed more. I needed more seed capital. I didn't want to wait so long, so I had to get creative. Now, I'm not talking about leverage on every deal. Yes, we bring the bank to every deal. I'm talking about personal borrowing so Mike Harrison can go get in some more deals. Here's what I did. I had that 401k early on when I first started out. I borrowed against it twice, two different times. So you can borrow, not every 401k plan allows it. Mine did. I called and they said, oh yeah, you can take out a loan up to $50,000. Well, the first one I took 30, okay? 50 kind of scared me. This was new for me. My mindset was still evolving. Borrowed 30,000 and bought another house, paid that 30 grand off, I guess maybe over about 6 months of time. Then took out a second one for $50,000. I was able to actually pay the $50,000 back much quicker. I did a HELOC on my personal homes. That scare you? I took $100,000 out against my personal property and put that into a multifamily investment. There was even a time when there was a multifamily property coming across. I had one of my single family houses for sale. I had a contract on it, but I knew it was going to be about a 40-day ride before we closed, and I got the funds back from that. So I called my bank, and I pulled $50,000 on a short-term personal loan. Now, this is when interest rates were low, right, compared to where they are, say, today. But at the time, it was a personal loan. They gave it to me at 9%, all right? But it was only 40 days, okay? Big deal. But I remember that scared my wife. And I will admit, I had some butterflies myself, but my mindset knew that I needed the seed capital. I was putting it in real estate. I was putting it in these investments that just really had fantastic returns. So I went through the process, and I knew it was going to work out, and sure as heck, it worked out. Eventually, I cashed out my 401k. It took me about 4 years as a real estate investor before I finally got into what Dale Walmsley told me on day one, but I just wasn't there. I was a corporate guy. I couldn't bring myself to do it. But once I cashed out that 401k, it was one of those moments in life, right? The burn the boats moment, or for Sam Houston at the Battle of San Jacinto, burn the bridge. There will be no turning back. And that's when I cashed out that 401k, and wow, what a great decision that was. But wealthy people don't fear debt. We fear missed opportunities. Number two, the poor think money is scarce. The rich know it's unlimited. Wealth is created, my friends. I learned this as a real estate investor. The poor believe that if they're going to earn $1, somebody else loses a dollar. And there's nothing further from the truth. I'll take a $200,000 beat-up single-family property in a good working-class neighborhood, good location with lots of jobs. I'll put $50,000 of rehab into that property. And now the home is worth $300,000. Where'd the extra $50,000 come from? Did we take it from somebody? No, it was created. It was 100% created. A builder. He'll take a piece of land, a $50,000 piece of land. He'll spend $400,000, build a new home, and he'll sell that home for $700,000. Where did the extra wealth, where did the extra value come from? It was created. Okay. And everyone involved in that process made money along the way. The architect made money along the way. The person selling the land made money along the way. The guy that framed the house, the guy that shingled the house, everyone made money along the way except for the buyer. The buyer bought the personal home. They didn't make any money. Now, a lot of you out there are like, well, Mike, your house will always be worth more. Sure, they'll hold on to it for a long time and natural appreciation will take its place. And even the owner, even the buyer will make some money over time. But what if that buyer has to sell the next year or 2 years? What if they get laid off and they can't stay in the home anymore? So even the buyer could lose money, but the builder's already been paid and everybody involved in the process has already been paid. That wealth is created. That's our model. We're going to take a distressed property, whether single family or multifamily, and we're going to improve the value through physical and managerial improvements, managerial components, right? A better management, better well-run, staying on top of the accounting, that improved value is created. So the wealth understand that money is created. The poor essentially think that if they're going to make a dollar, somebody else has to lose a dollar. That it's not how it works. Number three, your habits today determine your wealth tomorrow. So true, especially for the real estate investor. I'm making money today on decisions I made 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago. Do something today your future self will thank you for. And the other thing I say all the time is if you want to live the life that others don't live, you have to be willing to do the things that others won't do. Let's talk about bad decisions, okay? And we're going to talk about more than just financial in this little spot here. But habits today are going to determine your wealth tomorrow. A bad decision you make today it's going to cost you tomorrow one way or another. It may cost you financially. It may cost you in other ways. It may cost you for years. Consumer debt. Injuries because you're standing on the top rung of the ladder or you're doing something goofy riding your kid's skateboard. Yeah, I've done that. I'm lucky I didn't crack my head, but boy, I've taken some hard falls when I shouldn't have been riding my kid's skateboard down the hill. But, you know, dads being dads, we're having fun. Car wrecks, DWIs, poor decision making today is going to cost you wealth. You have to have a two-part strategy. You have to make good investments today, and you cannot make bad decisions for the sake of short-term gratification. It's going to take daily discipline, daily self-improvement, one good step every day. That includes health decisions, relationship decisions, peace of mind decisions, and make time to unwind, relax, enjoy the lifestyle. It's better for you. You'll live longer. And if you live longer and you're creating a cash flow snowball along the way, you'll be wealthier. Turn off the noise. Turn off the hype. Go for a walk. Read a book rather than scroll social media for hours on end. But yeah, habits today, they're going to determine wealth tomorrow, no doubt. Number four, working overtime makes you tired, not wealthy. Now, I know some people are told by their boss to work overtime, but there's a whole nother group of people that are asking for overtime. They're asking for overtime because they have a financial need. I hope that need is to save and set aside money to become a real estate investor or to engage in the next deal. Unfortunately, experience tells me that's not always the case. These people are needing the extra overtime to live, to pay their bills, to take care of those short-term gratification purchases that they made the week before. And now they're like, oh my, I got to go pay this off. But life is short. Spend that time with your family. Spend that time doing things you want to do. Don't just try. You can't work your way to wealth. You can't just grind unless you want to do the 50-year plan. And maybe you're wealthy, but it's not going to do it. You've got to have a better way. You've got to have an investment vehicle that has triple-digit returns so that you can start buying your life back, just how we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. But don't try to work your way through it. We talk about, we buy these distressed properties. We're not doing the work ourselves. We have a team. We have a GC that does the work for us. We hire that person. I remember when I was in corporate America in the early days, I used to give up every third Saturday for a few years. And the reason was to move up the ladder corporately, right? I wanted to make a name for myself. And so every third Saturday for a number of years of my life was sacrificed. It was gone. And I had three young children. And looking back, I wish I was taking that Saturday morning and we were going to the park or we were going to an event or getting out of the house, going to the picnic, going to the beach, anything like that. But instead, I'm trying to move up the ladder corporately. And when I say overtime on a Saturday, mine wasn't overtime. I was salaried. I was literally just giving up the time to go. And hey, every third Saturday, I'll be in there. I can do that. And I'm a team player. Now, looking back, I wish I'd spent the time with my family or doing something that I really enjoyed doing, but I didn't. And heck, look, my eyes are wide open today, but hopefully you get this message and you can pass that on to somebody and they can start thinking big picture. Income is limited, right? Wealthy understand income is limited, but your potential, the wealthy understand this, to create income isn't. So that's kind of back to the overtime piece, right? And you can't, there's not enough hours in the day. If you can work 24 hours a day, it still won't make you wealthy. But using a plan, using a strategy, the potential to create income is not limited. It's unlimited. Again, why do we choose real estate as our investment vehicle of choice? Because real estate is the most resilient asset class out there. One, so we like resiliency. It's also the safest asset class out there when done correctly. But the magic of real estate is we're taking a single family property. And it's not like a stock. You buy a stock for A, you sell for B. You hope B is greater than A and you make some money. Real estate, we make money five different ways in that single family home. One, we're buying something that's paying us each and every month. Two, we're getting an equity capture. Again, we're creating wealth, back to one of those earlier principles. Three, yes, we have leverage, but our resident, when they pay the rent, is actually paying the loan off for us. And part of that's principal. So we're getting a principal increase. We're getting the tax advantages, which are absolutely phenomenal. And at the end of the day, we have the natural appreciation. So that's what the stock buyer really understands is buy for A, sell for B. Sure, we do that in a single family home, but that's only one way. In fact, appreciation is really the fifth most important reason for us. If we were going to rank these, appreciation's number five. Cash flow is number one. Equity capture's number two. Tax advantages, mortgage pay down. Give me the tax advantages even over the mortgage pay down, because the mortgage pay down's only a few hundred each and every month. So that's just the Mike Harrison ranking. Maybe you have a different ranking on those five ways. Now, multifamily, we mix in a sixth way. Not only do we have natural appreciation, we have forced appreciation. So again, we're creating income. We're creating wealth. Wealthy people understand that. We're not working extra hours to do that. We're getting creative. We're putting strategies, management team, discipline, and we're changing that property. We're not slumlords. We're making it better because we know making it better, improving the income, makes it worth more, again, creating that wealth side. Okay, the next one. Most people are too comfortable to ever get rich. So Del Walmsley says this, and he says it a different way, and he said it day one of my financial freedom seminar, and it really rang home. He says, what gets in the way of a great life, a good life? And then he says, not everyone wants to be a millionaire. And at first I thought to myself, what are you talking about, Del? Everybody wants to be a millionaire. No, when you dig deep into it, if you got to change your mindset, you've got to change your investment strategy, you've got to take an education course. And if you do all these things properly, you can be a millionaire at that time. There's just a lot of people that are like, no, I'm good. Things are fine. Look, you know, I got a okay job. Bills are paid. you know, take an okay vacation, go camping with the family a couple times a year. I'm good. I don't want to deal with all that. So, yeah, in reality, not everyone wants to be a millionaire. You've got to, you've literally got to change what you're doing. If you want to live the life that others don't live, you have to be willing to do the things that others won't do. So most people are too comfortable, or they have too much fear in their life. Oh, if I do this, and what about this? If I cash out my 401k, that's my future. That's my end all be all. No, no. Once you start to see things differently, you'll understand. And if you want to get rich, you can't be sitting around and just, you know, living. If it's good, if it's okay, it's going to get in the way of a great life. So like Dale says, what gets in the way of a great life? A good life. So yeah, most people are too comfortable to ever get rich. Now, the next one, the rich don't retire. They build businesses that keep paying them. So true. So correct. That's our philosophy as real estate investors. It's our philosophy that we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Financial freedom is a condition. Financial freedom, we call it retirement here, but we never really, you know, we continue this lifelong commitment as real estate investors. We keep buying streams of income that keep paying us. Wealthy people buy streams of income. So when that principle, the rich don't retire, they build businesses that keep paying them, they understand that quote unquote a retirement really is that financial condition. It's enough money coming in each and every month or each and every quarter or each and every year that can cover their financial obligations. When they want to go buy a new boat or something like that, they're going to buy a business and allow the income from that business to buy the new toy or the second house or whatever it is. And wealthy people have known this for generations. They're not setting, they don't have 401ks and set money aside for some rainy day. No, they're buying businesses. They're buying assets, right? Assets that keep paying them as they go through for the remainder of their life. They understand what we say here all the time. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Financial freedom is a condition. It's not an age in the future, and it's not a bag of money. So you keep building those streams of income, and that's where you get the financial independence. Which, by the way, the last principle, just quickly, financial independence is built. It's not given. That is the cash flow snowball. I have well over 30 different streams of income. 14 years ago, before I became a real estate investor, I had one stream of income. My goal is well over 100 streams of income. Financial independence is built. And when we build it, that's when we know it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.